Hi, my name is Kiki, and I'm inviting you to come with me as I take you on a journey of shocking truths and jaw-dropping revelations. A story of how one man's seeming good intention led millions down a path of death and destruction.
Today I stand before you proud to be a servant of such a heroic people. Today I stand before you to proclaim that our heroic youth in the various fronts have turned the tide of this war.
In the words of Mr. Asika, the rebel leaders ought to know when enough is enough. They should call a halt to the shameless deception of innocent Igbos with reports of fictitious victories on the battlefronts.
Have you ever wondered why history was expunged from the Nigerian curriculum? Get the facts on Biafra, the fall of a nation. On today's episode, aptly called The Bloody North, we look at another horrifying yet compelling series of events that led to the inevitable secession of Biafra. And later on, I'll share with you interviews as they recount their experience during this time.
The federal military government in Nigeria has taken over the administration of the country. Functions of federal military government will be exercised by the Supreme Military Council, and details of which will be announced later. Permanent secretaries in charge of federal ministries will continue in their office, carrying out the normal functions of government, and they shall be directly responsible to federal military government when constituted.
This terrible time continued as the northern ruling elites then sent representatives to meet with the head of state with a list of demands, which included the discontinuation of any investigation into the killings of May 1966 in the north, and the punishment and court-martials of leaders of the January 15th coup. There are several versions of what happened next, but posterity records that the head of state, Aguyi Iranzi, in a bid to appease the concerns of regional leaders in the country, embarked on a nationwide tour. The events that occur after leaves the nation in shock, for in a matter of hours after arriving at Ibadan to meet the military governor of the western region, Lieutenant Colonel Adekunle Fajui, the bullet-ridden bodies of both men were discovered in the bush. Northern officers led by Murtala Mohammed carried out in July of 1966 the Nigerian counter coup, where 240 southern members of the army were systematically killed. Three quarters of them were Igbos. It is on record that an estimate of 8,000 to 30,000 Igbos and Easterners alike had been killed. A further 1 million Igbos fled the northern region into the east. In response to the killings, some northerners were massacred in Port Harcourt and other eastern cities. Now, in this second interview with my aunt, Mrs. Ifeanyi Ojekwe, she describes, in her own words, the circumstances she experienced that led to her leaving for the east.
So, Auntie, let's talk about where were you when the war started?
Okay, when the war started, I don't want to say I know when the war started. What I know is that I left Lagos, yeah, my children, when there was commotion or trouble that Igbos were being massacred. So I was afraid to stay in Lagos, and I made my husband take me back to the east.
So did you hear over the radio? How did you know that Igbos were being attacked?
We did not know anything. For example, the day I went to hospital, all of a sudden everybody was running helter-skelter, and nobody stopped to ask any question. The rumor was that outside soldiers had come killing everybody, not even only Igbos, everybody. So offices had to close, and everybody ran away. My husband wasn't home. When he now came back, he said he was surprised. He went to Edo. work at Edo. When he now came back, he said he was surprised when he got to the office, he saw nobody, so he came home. So I told him what happened. I told him I was not going to sleep here. Now took me to Suri Leve, and from Suri Leve, I arranged to go back to the east. And the people I stayed with, my friend, Dr. and Mrs. Motune, they now left Suri Leve to go abroad. He was a doctor himself, and the wife was my friend. We were together at school. So they left Nigeria to go abroad.
You went to the east. They went abroad.
Yes, they went abroad. So that, I think, the whole thing now started in July. This was in, like, I think about either May or June. Because I had Rita in April. So in July now, I think there was real killings. And then there was rumor. And every day the radio would be telling us, because that's what we depended on. Now, we heard from the radio what was happening in the north, that everybody, the people were being killed, Igbos, and they put them in train. Some of them, they had them and put them into the train and send them to the east.
We can say these series of events were the tipping point that led to the secession of the Eastern Nigeria and the declaration of Biafra.
The rising sun, Biafra, the rising sun, everywhere! The rising sun, Biafra, the rising sun. Move on, Biafrans, move on, Biafrans, this is your movie.
That's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you want to support what we do on this show, then please share with your friends, subscribe, and leave a review on iTunes. But I'll see you on the next episode of Biafra, The Fall of a Nation, hosted by me, Kiki, from Jamit.fm.